First John, the fourth chapter, we've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Try the Spirits. And this is based on this verse here in 1 John 4 and 1. So you're believing with me again for utterance today, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, you really do yourself a favor when you pray for your preachers. Because what comes through them affects you, right?
Yes, sir.
He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." That's similar to what you've heard before. Don't believe everything you hear.
That's right.
Yes. Don't believe everything on the news.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. A couple of years ago when they were attacking some of the ministers that I knew so much on the evening news, I was appalled. Some of the things they told and said that were absolute lies.
Yes.
I thought on national news, you would at least have to verify something.
Right. Yeah.
Somebody said, "How you knew it was a lie?" I knew the inside information on some of those things.
Right.
I was there for some of it.
Yes.
I knew the numbers. And they just flat made up stuff and put it on national TV.
Yeah.
Don't believe everything you hear.
Right.
Huh? Don't believe everything that you read.
Right.
Don't believe everything that so-called experts.
Yeah. That's right.
So in books that people write. No matter how beautiful the book is, hardcover and multicolor, you know, labels and covers and how many letters at the end of their name. You need to ask your question, who is this?
Right. Yeah.
And they're right in telling you how to do something. Well, how have they come out?
That's right. Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
You know, are they going to tell you about marriage and family? Well, how's their marriage?
That's right.
How's their family?
Yeah.
How's their finances? You know, watch. Do not be gullible.
Amen. Yeah.
Don't just swallow everything. That includes through preachers.
Yes.
Huh? Through preachers. Whether it's me or anybody else, check everything out by the Word of God,
yes,
the written Word of God,
yes,
and by the Holy Spirit inside you.
Yes.
Check it. Check it. And that's what he's saying here. He said, don't believe every spirit, but try the spirits. Now, that word try means test or examine. Test the spirits. What are we testing them to find out? Whether they're of God. One of the biggest errors in the church, in the body of Christ today, is that God is controlling everything. And you'll see people shake their fist and be adamant, God is in control. Well, what do you mean by that? What are you talking about? If you're talking about that God has a master plan that's going to unfold the way he has said it will, yes. And that's going to happen with you or without you. But if you mean everything that's happening with everybody on the planet, he's controlling? Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. We saw in 1 John, in the 5th chapter, where it said that the whole world is lying under the control of the evil one.
Yes. Yes.
And 2 Corinthians 4 calls the devil the god of this world. Well, if the whole world, this whole world is under the control of the evil one, how is God controlling everything? No, there is a period of time that God is allowing for human beings to choose him or not him. And the enemy is allowed to do his tempting and all of his deceiving and all of his stuff, but there's coming an end to this. And it'll be no more. And then the judgment. And then those who have chosen to believe and follow the Lord, there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth where it is no curse. Oh, hallelujah. And no devil and no evil. And God really will be in control. And when he's in control, have you read the back of the book? No sorrow, no pain, no dying, no crying, no curse, no death. When God's in control, that's what it looks like. Now, while we're down here with all these evil elements around, he's telling us, don't believe everything you see and hear. Test it. Try it. Examine it to see whether it's of God or not. Let's keep reading this passage. He said, because many false prophets are going out into the world, and that would be men and women that are speaking by inspiration, speaking by revelation, but not of God. There is inspiration that is spiritual and real, but it's not God. It's wrong spirit. And even revelations that's spiritual. People have visions. They have dreams. They're real, but they're not God. There is that which is God, but he's not. Just because somebody said, God showed me something, that doesn't mean you immediately go, okay, it's God. No. You go, well, we'll see.
That's good.
Huh? Yeah, but they're a prophetess. I don't care who they said they were. Huh? Yeah, but they're an apostle. Well, according to who? The Lord told you to do what? Test it. Examine it. Every one. Keep reading. Try the spirits, whether they're of God, because many, not just a couple, many false prophets are going out into the world. Keep going. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Keep going. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. This is something that some of the major religions of the world, other than Christianity, try to hide. One of the biggest in the world, I won't call their name, I'll leave that for you, but they deny that God has a son, or that God can have a son. That's why they and their followers, and they're in the billions, they will never call, they don't call God Father. And they won't acknowledge that he has a son. According to them then, there could not be that Jesus is God. God's son manifested in the flesh. Come on, can you see this? They're denying that. Now they'll try to hide it and skirt it unless they get pinned down on it. And then they'll get adamant that no, God has no son. Well, he does.
Yes, he does.
I said he does.
Yes, he does.
And now he is the firstborn among many brethren. Oh, hallelujah. And we're told that now because of our faith in Jesus, we are joint heirs.
Yes.
Joint heirs. There are many sons of God. That's male and female. Come on, everybody say, I am a child of God.
I am
a son of God.
Joint heir
with Jesus.
With Jesus.
Ooh, you said something. You said something then. You said something. Woo. That's something to shout about. The rest of the day and the night and life. Keep reading. But you'll find that through subtle, crafty, sneaky ways, many, like he said, many will deny that Jesus is born of a virgin, had no earthly father, so he's born of God, that he is the Word of God made flesh, and that he is the Son of God. No wrong spirit is going to acknowledge that. They're not. They're not. And so the Holy Spirit will always acknowledge that and glorify Jesus above all. And that's one way you can tell wrong spirit, right spirit. Keep going. You are of God, little children. He's talking about you. I said, he's talking about you. Somebody say, I am of God. And what else? Have overcome them. All this wrong stuff. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So there is somebody else in the world. And his cohorts and his workers and his, you know, we talked about in the earlier parts of this series, the unseen realm. There are hundreds of references in the whole Bible to spirits and unseen things, whether it's angels or evil spirits, God himself being spirit and the Father of spirits, we being spirits. And so just because you can't see something with your eye doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. You know, we talked about in the earlier part of the series, we put up on the screen the spectrum of light we can see. And then all the spectrum that's there that we don't see. You know, for instance, anybody ever use a remote control? Huh? When you press the button, can you see how it changes the channel?
No, sir.
No, you don't. What happens is a beam of light that's outside of your range of vision goes zip. Huh? Did you see it?
No, sir.
Well, then when people say, if I can't see it, I ain't going to believe in it. Well, then you don't believe in remote controls. Huh? Or how about microwave oven?
Come on.
Huh? Anybody ever use a microwave? Huh? Did you put something in there cold? Push a button or two, wait a minute or two, and it's hot? Did you see the light waves? Did you see the radio waves? Did you see them?
Mm-mm.
You know how that was invented? They originally were called radar range by a manna. Yeah. That's been a few years ago. Radar range.
That's right.
You know why? I believe it was Raytheon, big giant company that still exists today, was developing on radars. Radars for aircraft, radars for other things. And the radar, you know, sends out beams that you can't see. And they bounce off of stuff and come back and paint an image. And a guy was working on them, and he sent some beams, and he looked down, and his chocolate bar was melting in his pocket. He thought, now hold on. What have? And that's how microwaves were born. So then they did it on purpose and saw that it really was melting things to do. And there you go. But you can stand in front of there and look in there, and you cannot see what is warming that up. So if you can't see it, you ain't gonna believe in it. You don't believe in microwaves. And the list goes on. But what I'm saying is there is a whole realm of things unseen. Now, here's the thing. Hold your place here and go to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice that he says, verse 16, 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Even though your body is getting older, the inward unseen part of your being is not aging, is not wearing out, is not getting older. Actually, as a believer, we are renewed day by day. We're not wearing out inside. Verse 17. Well, for time's sake, skip down to verse 18. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. Are there things that are not seen? Huh? Are they real? You know, Hebrews 11 tells us that God created, you know, everything that He created, the heavens and the earth, He created them out of things not seen. Didn't say He created it out of nothing. People have gotten that wrong. He created it out of things you can't see. Now look at this again, 2 Corinthians 4:18. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Say it out loud, unseen.
Unseen.
Things. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There are things seen and there are things not seen. Both of them are real. The things you can see are temporary. The things you can't see are eternal. But they're both real. And so there's a whole realm of the unseen in which there are spirits. You're a spirit. I'm a spirit. We're much more than a body. We're much more than a brain. There's the part of us that thinks, believes, understands, feels. That is an eternal thing that God has made. And yet He's left it up to us whether we choose to love Him and believe Him or not. When you really understand what has happened, if you don't love God, you're a fool.
Yes, that's right.
So what do you mean by that? Well, our parents, Adam and Eve, and just that statement eliminates all racism. I've heard people say because their skins were different shade, they'd say, well, brother from another mother. No, brother from the same mama. Same mama. We all got the same mama.
That's right.
Huh?
Come on.
Eve. Is that right?
Amen.
Eve. And how'd we get into that? But Adam and Eve had it perfect, and yet because of their sin and disobedience and not trusting God and yielding to His enemy, they lost themselves. And then when God gave the law and the perfect standard of righteousness, men continued to fail to keep it and didn't qualify. And so we were lost. We were hopeless.
Yes.
Without God.
Yes.
But He, yes, through His Son,
hallelujah,
paid the price, yes, bought us,
yes,
redeemed us,
yes,
and still leaves it up to us. He owns us at least three times over that I'm aware of. What do you mean by, well, there would be no human beings if He hadn't created Adam and Eve, right? And if He hadn't saved Noah and his crew and got us all the way to where we are. So we wouldn't exist without His creation. Also, do you know who keeps our sun shining and the gravity working on the planet and the oxygen going? We wouldn't last milliseconds without Him sustaining. What keeps your heart beating? Anybody have any idea? And then, because we sold ourselves through sin, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, He bought us, He bought His own creation and paid the highest price for it that's ever been paid for anything, the lifeblood of His Son, the Master Jesus. So He owns us many times over, and still He said, here, I bought you, you're free, here's the keys, serve me if you want to. If you want to. If you don't want to, you're a fool. You know what I mean by that? You are a fool. So every day you ought to say, thank you, Lord, for creating me, for sustaining me, for redeeming me, for saving me, I would gladly choose you and serve you and follow you. Not just on earth, forever. Is that right? Forever, I am yours. Amen. You made me. You bought me. You keep me. I'm no dummy. I know who feeds me.
Huh?
I'm not stupid. I know who's keeping my mind working and my heart going. Huh? I'm with him. I'm staying with him. So we don't look at the things seen, but the things not seen. For the things seen are temporary, but the things not seen are eternal. The things that are unseen are real. And the things that are seen, somebody says, well, maybe this is not real. Oh, it's real. It's temporary, though. All of this is soon to go away. Temporary. But the eternal things are not going away. They will exist throughout the endless ages to come. Which means this is the shortest thing we will ever do, is this life right now. Which means you better get the right choice for eternity, because it is a long, long time. Now, this unseen thing includes the spirits that we're talking about that he told us to try. So look with me in, let's see, for time's sake. Go to 1 Corinthians, you're there. Go to the 15th chapter, just back up a few pages, to the 15th chapter. And look at the 33rd verse. They'll put it on the screen for us. 15:33. He said, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. This is talking about the transfer of influence through association. This is a very real thing. Hold your place there and just put on the screen for us Romans 12. We've looked at this in times past, but verse 1, Romans 12, 1. It says, I beseech you by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Now that lets you know, if you look up that word conform, its root is the word to pressure or to mold something. Like in a mold, you mold it into the shape of the mold. And this entire world that we've already saw is under the sway and power of the evil one, is pushing on every living person down here to be conformed to the spirits that inundate this planet, and to make the living human beings like they are. And this influence is widespread, widespread. And the Bible tells us what? Don't be conformed. Don't be, said out loud, don't be conformed. Now, how are you not going to be conformed? Because what's going to be happening is pressure. We, you know, we use terms like peer pressure, right? And what is that referring to? It's referring to not just the seen, but the unseen influences. That, you know, a lot of times people have done things that they knew they shouldn't have done. But thoughts came to their mind, well, what would they think? What would they think if you don't? You know, they'll exclude you from the group, or they'll say you're chicken. Well, worse things have happened than people who don't know much calling you a goofy name. Huh? But if you're not mature and you're not stable and you're not secure, you're easily moved by what's trying to push you and shape you like everyone else around you. Well, who said the majority are right? Is the majority usually right?
No.
Look at history. The majority is not usually right. I mean, when God brought his people out of Egyptian bondage, there were some 2.5 million of them or so. And all the spies that searched out the land and everybody that heard them out of those hundreds of thousands, they said, we can't go in. It's too hard. They'll eat us up. We'll die. And two said, no, God's with us. We can do it. Let's go take it. Was the majority right or wrong?
Wrong.
And they all died out there.
40
years wandering around because people thought, well, everybody else is going back to the desert. Well, that don't mean you have to.
Right?
Everybody else thinks we can't do it. Well, that, you know, a large number of people saying it doesn't make it true.
Yes, that's right.
Correct.
And so these associations and these influences are a big deal because, like we've said before, these spirits are real. But if nobody would yield to them, it would be like they were behind a plate glass.
Yeah.
It'd be like they didn't exist.
Yeah. Yep.
Problem is, there's plenty of people that if a wrong spirit brings thoughts and feelings to them, as soon as it hits their mind, it comes out their mouth.
Yeah.
And they don't even realize they're being influenced. And so, what you have to watch for with these wrong spirits is, yeah, they'll try to influence you directly by bringing thoughts and feelings and temptations and suggestions, deceptions, lies to your mind. But they'll try to influence you through other people.
Yes.
Especially people you care about.
Oh, come on.
Uh-oh. And a lot of times, they're counting on you caring so much about that person that you'll yield to them through that person when you wouldn't yield directly. If they can't get you to do it, they try to find a weak link next to you. And many times, people who've been carnal and immature have yielded to wrong spirits and have begged people to do things and pushed on them and tried to sway them and didn't realize they were being used by the devil. And if they don't have enough discernment to know it's wrong, you need to be strong enough to stand up and go, no.
Amen.
Yeah, but I thought we were. Yeah, well, if you cared about me, you wouldn't be asking me to do this. You got right, you got wrong. Huh?
Yeah, but
it's family. Yeah, but your first commitment's to your God. Right? Now the enemy has deceived and misled and even destroyed a lot of people that he wasn't able to do it directly, but he was able to do it through their spouse, through their children. You hear what I'm saying? Through people they cared about. They loved because the enemy knew they wouldn't tell them no. Is it true or not? Look at 1 Corinthians 15 again. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The NIV says it like this. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. I like the Amplified on this. Put the Amplified if we have that. Verse 33. Do not be so deceived, in the Amplified, and misled. Evil companionships, communion associations, corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character. Why? Because if they're yielding to a wrong spirit and you hang around with them, if you're going to do the things they do, talk about the things they talk about, then that influence is going to affect you. And the enemy is counting on most people not even believing these spirits exist. So if they don't exist, there's nothing to resist. But they do exist. And they're influencing the whole planet. And all unsaved people, all unsaved people, are more or less dominated by these wrong spirits. And they don't even know it. They don't even realize it. All of them. And sadly, a lot of believers are yielding to wrong things too, because they're not acknowledging. They're not doing what the text said, trying, examining, testing. Every thought comes from somewhere, right? Every suggestion, every feeling is coming. It comes from somewhere. A thought is unseen, right? These feelings are unseen. Now, they affect the seen, but their origin, their source, their substance is unseen. And that's why the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought. Somebody say every thought. Every thought. Every thought. To the obedience of Christ. You think most of the church has done that? No, not even remote. Most of the church don't even want to talk about these things. They like want to pretend that they don't exist. No, you don't have to be afraid of these things. We just got through reading, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They're under your feet. But you do need to be aware of what they're trying to do. They will try to influence you. That's why he said, we're not, lest Satan should get an advantage of you, because we are not ignorant of his devices. And that word device is thoughts and mind things. That's how he comes. We talked about how he will come against your mind. But we need to understand he will try to come at you through other people. Now, it wouldn't do any good to try to influence you through other people that you are never around, or that you never hear or never see. So it's going to be the people in your circles that you're around and are things that you watch and listen to. The Lord said something to me some years ago about this. He said, the devil cannot bother you with a thought you won't think. Is that good or is that good? He can't hurt you. He can't trick you. Huh? With a thought you won't think. But see, he's convinced a lot of people they can't help themselves what they think. And that's a lie. Come on, say it out loud. My mind is my mind. In fact, I have the mind of Christ. And the enemy cannot force me to think on anything. I choose not to. The enemy cannot bother us. He cannot hurt us with a thought we won't think. And isn't that what the scripture is saying? Casting down. Right? When something comes, you don't just go, ooh, where'd that come from? Realize it's on. Right? There is an attack. Grab it. Slam it. Say, no, that can't be right. The word says this. That's not good. That's not right. Grab it and say, I refuse to think on that. Change your tune. I refuse to talk about it. I refuse to listen to it. And the enemy cannot bother you. He cannot hurt you. He cannot trick you. He cannot deceive you. He cannot tempt you with a thought you won't think. Man, somebody is making progress. We're coming up. The Living Bible on 1 Corinthians 15:32. This gives a little bit more of the context of the passage. The Living Bible, 1 Corinthians 15:32. The latter part says, he's talking about people that don't think right. And that's exactly what we're talking about. He said, if we never live again, we might as well go and have ourselves a good time. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. See, that's where that came from. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may be dead. Well, that's not exactly what it said, but eat, drink, be merry, what? Party on, because you ain't got long. What's the difference? Tomorrow we die, and ends everything. Now, let's just stop right here. Where did that thought come from? Huh? I mean, I don't have long to live. I'm getting older every day. I better grab what I can while I can. Well, this life is not all there is. That's a lie. And it's not true. It's not right. Where did that thought come from? Verse 33. Don't be fooled by those who say such things. If you listen to them, you will start acting like them. Huh? If you hang around people all the time saying, hey, you know, we ain't got long to live. We better party. We better grab what we can. We better go for the gusto. And wasn't that a phrase? You know, you cannot hang around those people all the time without some of that rubbing off on you. And you want to look at how their lives are. Huh? How are their lives going? Do you want in your life what they have in their life? If you can't influence them, they ought to be coming to church with you. Right? They ought to be getting delivered and getting free. If that's not happening and you're just hanging with them, you're going their way. And you don't even realize it. And it happens a little at a time. Happens subtly. And so don't be fooled by those who say such things. If you listen to them, you'll start acting like them. Get some sense and quit your sinning. Well, that's good and plain, right? Proverbs 13:20, put that up for us. Now, what are we talking about? Romans 12 said, Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There is pressure every day in this world to conform to ungodliness. The Lord gave me this phrase a number of years ago when I was praying about some of these things. He said, Keith, tolerance is the first step to conformity. See, the enemy knows this. He knows that if you're thinking right at all, you're not just going to jump from right to crazy wrong. Huh? Too big of a leap. So what does he get you to do? Tolerate their wrong. And in your mind you say, well, I'm not going to do that, but it's okay for them. And what you don't realize is the devil has no live and let live option. See, you may be thinking, hey, just live and let live. The devil is not offering you that option. No. He is pushing to be conformed or be destroyed. And he wants to rule and control everything, and the way he winds it up is in destruction. He basically just hates human beings. And it just thrilled him if he could wipe out billions of us today. He has zero compassion for any of us. Sees us less than animals and things. Actually, is jealous of us and envious because we have what he will never have. We are in the family of God. Oh, hallelujah. We got a future of ruling and reigning in the eternal kingdom. And oh, that chafes him bad. That chafes him bad because, I mean, to him and those angels that fell, We look so pitiful and young. We're such preemies. We've been alive that long. We don't know anything. We can hardly find our way out of town. And they just look at us and smirk and go, "You got to be joking me." God is making them into rulers of the kingdom. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. We may not look like it right now, but give us a little time. We're coming up every day, and it doesn't yet appear, but it will appear that we are the sons of the living God. And that chafes him and his so bad, but tough. Tough. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walks with wise men shall be wise." Now, man, this is a big phrase. This is a big phrase. Why would this be so? To walk with is not just like walking across the room. It involves a life, a way of life, and more than the odd association. You spend time with people. You're around them. Well, if you're around a bad person that's yielding to bad influences, if you are thinking right and going the right direction, that's not going to work for you. It's going to be continual pulling, right? And you'll say, look, you'll have to come to the place where, no, I'm not going there. No, I'm not doing that with you. No. And after too many no's, they're like, well, you know, forget you. And they have to find their own friends. And you're better off getting away. Yeah. Right? Yeah. But when God allows you to associate and be around His people, His gifts, His elders, He has really favored you and given you a gift. Oh, because you're learning more than you even realize you're learning. Just being around it. I know Phyllis and I, we just thank God all the time for the associations that God has granted us. And we were with the Hagans, Brother Kenneth Hagan Sr. and Miss Aretha, for 20 years. And able to travel with them. As time went on, we spent time with them and shopped with them and any number of things. And we were thankful for it at the time. They're both in heaven now. But we did not realize what a gift God was giving us. We knew it was good, but you just didn't have the discernment to realize how good. One of the first times that he took us on a meeting with him, and he allowed me to speak in the morning. I mean, I was just pinching myself that I got to be a part and go. And he introduced me. Brother Hagin said, he said, "This is Keith Moore. He's been with us for years." He said, "I personally trained him." And he went on to elaborate. And I about fell off my chair. I thought, what? Because in my mind, if somebody personally trained you, you spend a lot of time one-on-one, you know, talking with them or that kind of thing. And at that time, we didn't. Later on, we did some of that. But later on, I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, I'm not second-guessing him, but he said he personally trained me. I mean, what?" And the Lord began to mention, he said, "Certainly he did." He said, "Every day that you were sitting on that front row and he was speaking 3 feet from you, and you were listening and watching how he was yielding to the Spirit, how he interpreted things from the Holy Spirit," he said, "he's training you. I was training you through him and by him." So I thought, oh, glory to God. I mean, it's not the flesh that we ought to want to get to know. It's the Spirit. Come on, can you see this? And a lot of times it's in services when people are more anointed, when the anointing is stronger, and that's what you want. Hallelujah. And when you're in that environment and you're under that anointing and revelation begins to come and you start seeing things, a lot of times you don't even realize all you're getting. Yeah. You are seeing things. You are getting things. You are understanding things. Some of them won't come out. You won't really be clear on it till years later. You'll be going along and something will come up. You go, what do I do? And it'll come up inside you. And you go, where did I get that?
Yeah.
You got it 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. A wisdom that came. He that walketh with wise men. He'll be what?
Wow.
He shall be wise. The influence. Well, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of wisdom. And so if a man or woman that's spiritual and walking with God, if wisdom is coming into them and coming out of them, it's coming from the Spirit of God. It's coming from the Spirit of wisdom. And if they're yielding to that and you're around them, next thing you know, you start thinking wise and talking wise. You've been affected. You've been influenced by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And so these associations, who God joins you to, the churches, the ministry, the believers, the elders, these are precious, precious connections. The devil will do his best to sever them, get you mad, get you upset about something, get you offended, hurt about something, and say, well, I don't have to take this and quit and go and think you can just join yourself to something else. It's no big deal. It will not be the same. What God has joined together, don't let anybody separate. And it's because of these reasons. If somebody is yielding to the Holy Spirit, you want to learn all you can about that. Is that right? If somebody has learned over 30, 40, 50, 60 years about how to better yield to the Spirit and be led by the Spirit, and they've been practicing trying the spirits for these decades, oh, honey child, you want to be around that.
Yes.
You want to hear it. You want to see it. You want to be in the middle of it, right?
Yes.
Because next thing you know, you're being led by the Spirit.
Yes.
Ah, next thing you know, wisdom is coming up in you.
Yes.
Next thing you know, you've paid off all your bills.
Yes.
You're out of debt. Next thing you know, you're giving bigger offerings than you've ever given in your. Next thing you know, you're ministering and helping other people that used to be where you were. This is God's will, right? To sever the evil influences and cling to the God-joined influences. Hallelujah. And treasure them and show respect and honor. One of the things I hold in such high esteem that I get to go down in a few hours and be in Brother Copeland's meeting.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm so blessed that he's still with us.
Yes.
He's what, 80, soon be 89, I guess, 88. And he's got a full schedule speaking in this meeting. And I'd just be happy to be there in a seat, right anywhere. But then to be allowed to get on the platform, there wouldn't be a Southwest Believers meeting if it wasn't a Kenneth Copeland and Gloria Copeland. It's been that way for over 40 years. And actually, they asked me to come. This was a year or two on his birthday. They asked me to come down to the ministry as a surprise and share. And you know what I shared? I shared from the scripture that said Lot went with Abraham, and Lot was rich. Huh? And I talked about it. This was at their place at KCM a couple years ago. And I said, when I first met, Phyllis and I first met, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, we had no TV, we had no studio, we had no aircraft, we had none of these things. And now, you know, a few decades later, Kenneth Copeland's got TV studios. More Life Ministries got TV studio.
That's right.
Woo, come on. Copeland Ministries got aircraft. More Life Ministries, Faith Life Church got aircraft. Huh? They give big offerings and they help send missions. We also give big offerings. It's do you see what I'm talking about? Why? That association. I mean, back 30-something years ago, he had to come down there and do TV with him. And I've never done TV before. And so just sitting there, being with him, I'm learning.
Yes.
Can you see what I'm saying? How he's doing, because he had already done it for decades by then. And then on the way out, we'd go by the hangar, and he'd say, Keith, get up there in my airplane, sit down in the seat, sit out front, and make airplane noises. I'd get up in there, sit down in the seat. What's he doing? He that walketh, huh? With wise men, he'll be wise. He that walketh with prosperous people will be prosperous. Huh? He that walks with ministries that bear a lot of fruit and they're reaching out and doing a lot, they'll begin to bear a lot of fruit. Come on, King. This is God's will. This is God's plan. And not that things be lost when that person leaves or comes to the end, but that it be transferred to the next generation and then take a step up. And then the next generation, and come on, can you see this? And take a step up. He that walks with wise men shall be wise. A companion of fools will be destroyed. Hang with fools, get destroyed. Hang with the wise and the anointed. Next thing you know, you wise and anointed.
That's right.
Oh, glory to God. Psalm 119:63. He said, I am a companion of all them that fear you and that keep your precepts. I am a buddy to the godly. Right? Now, that doesn't mean you pester people. Huh? Because we already talked about this is not a man joining themselves to man thing. That doesn't work. This is when God directs you, go there. Go to that meeting. Be in this place. Be involved in this church. Become a part of the church. Join a team. Be where you're supposed to be. And how many here in the churches in Sarasota on the team you have gotten influenced? Huh? Through people of like faith and people who've got maybe more experience than you on some things, and you've been influenced in a good way. Well, see, that's all of this is about more than sweeping the floor.
Right?
Or parking a car. It's about spiritual development. And so he said, I'm a companion of them that fear you and that keep your precepts. Now, something so valuable, so precious, you know the devil is going to go after it. And he's going to try, like we already said, get you mad, get you hurt, get you offended, something, so that you go, I'm not staying there, I don't have to, and you break that connection and think you can just go out and join yourself to anything else and it'll be the same. It will not be the same. Do not let the enemy rob you. And so Acts 4, if you'll go there, I'm thinking about closing. Phyllis and I, you know, now we're old enough to be elders ourselves. But we've had, you know, 20 and now 30 and more years with the Hagans and with the Copelands. And we've got to see both on the platform and also behind the scenes how they do things, how they think. And the older I get, I just sometimes weep thanking God how precious it is, because you can go a whole lifetime and not learn these things. Yes. Most people never do. And so you say, well, I wish I could have been with this. No, value who God has joined you to.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Don't do that. Realize God has a plan and he knows what he's doing. And there are connections and people that you're connected to that they're connected to, yes, that they're connected to. Have you read about the body of Christ? Huh? Jesus is the head. We are the body. And God has placed every member in the body as it has pleased him. And how many know that it's not okay for the big toe to say, hey, I'm a long ways from the head. I mean, it just, I'm down here all the time. It's just toe stuff in the morning, toe stuff at noontime, toe stuff. Hey, you better be glad you're in the body. There are no insignificant members. There are none. And there are connections between the toe and the head.
That's right.
There are nerves. There's blood flow. There's connections throughout the body.
Yes.
And without the toe, the head ain't getting around like it needs to get around.
That's right.
Look at your neighbor. Tell him, say, toe stuff is important. Acts 4 and 13. Acts 4 and 13. They called these men on the carpet, so to speak, and they're threatening them, commanding them, you know, not to teach or preach anymore about the cross and the resurrection. And man, Peter spoke right up. And the other guys were nodding right there with him like, you think it's better for us to listen to you than to God? And I mean, the rulers and everybody, they were shocked by their lack of fear. Huh? And they had looked and dealt with these guys. And if you realize that, you know, before the Lord went to the cross, they all ran away. Something's happened since the day of Pentecost. And it was working years before. Seed that had been sown through godly influence. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they didn't get it through education. They didn't get it through the right social connections. They marveled. And they thought, what happened to these guys? They used to be just dumb fishermen. Look at them, standing up there like statesmen, speaking with boldness and authority. They're trying to figure this out. And then one of them said, they've been with Jesus. Oh, they took knowledge of them. That what? They had been with Jesus. They traveled with him. They ate with him. They listened to him. Sometimes they said dumb stuff. Right? Peter more than once. Is that right? Sometimes they got corrected. Sometimes they got reproved pretty strong. But through it all, God was doing a wonderful thing. I said he was doing a wonderful thing. Why? Because Jesus had the Spirit without measure. Hallelujah. And Jesus is only doing things that are good and right and pleasing to the Father, yielding to the Holy Spirit every day in every way. And they're getting to see that and be around that and experience that. And though they thought everything was lost when he went to the cross, yet they saw afterwards he's raised from the dead. And then he told them to stay and wait for the Spirit. And the Spirit came and came on them. And now, when they stand up and they speak, when they act, when they do, people looking around, especially people that were there in some of Jesus' meetings, they said, man, that's just like Jesus. Do you see that? I mean, they standing up, they preach like Jesus. They teach like Jesus. They minister. Do you know that's God's plan? For this to catch fire and go all over the world? All over the world? You act like Jesus. I act like Jesus. And God has chosen to influence and impart through these divine connections with other precious believers in our life. So let's separate ourselves from the evil influences. And let's hold dear and safeguard and protect the godly influences. Hallelujah. Stand up on your feet, please. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Oh, lift your hands. Lift your voice. Say, thank you, Master. Thank you, Lord. You're so good to us, so great, so kind, so merciful, so faithful. Hallelujah. Said out loud, Lord, I yield myself to your Holy Spirit. I give myself to your things completely. Thank you for choosing me. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.